Well, all good things must come to an end. And I think that you'll agree with me that it's been a really enjoyable and educational and positive weekend. I can say to you, however, that when this meeting was first thought of, the organizers had not the slightest idea of what to expect. And I think it's fair to say, Ben, that what we've had here has greatly over-fulfilled even our most optimistic expectations. And therefore, I think we can promise the Commerce President that this will not be the final school, but we'll have to turn this into an annual event, which we hope will build and grow. Now, where shall I start? Now then, I've had a complaint. You see, some commoners who know me well know that I'm very fond of quoting the Bible. And I haven't yet done so. And today, in case you hadn't noticed, is the Lord's Day. So let's begin. I've read the Bible, by the way. I've read the whole thing. It's a very interesting book. It took me 30 years to read. Fascinating book. It's full of wisdom, beautiful literature, very profound ideas. I was a bit disappointed by the ending, however. Everyone goes up in smoke here. Didn't fancy that. But it's full of very interesting words of wisdom. And there's one pertaining to Marxist theory. Now, you didn't know that, did you? Let me remind you of this famous quote. Like unto the man who buildeth his house upon the sand, and the wind came, and the rain, and it blew upon the house, and the house fell. I'm referring to the ultra-left sects who haven't got a clue about theory. And what the Bible says, what Jesus Christ says, is that we need to build, we must be like the man who buildeth his house upon the rock, and the wind came, and the rain, and it blew upon the house, and the house fell not. Of course, what he was referring to is the rock of religious faith. Now, thank God we're atheists, so we don't have to bother with that. But the rock that we refer to is the rock, the solid rock of Marxist theory. That's the basis upon which this edifice will be created, and nothing else. And that's what we've been discussing this weekend. We have no apologies to make. Now, what amazing times we live in. What astonishing times we live in. The situation is changing by the hour. And the only way, it's like a turbulent period, it's like a ship which is tossed hither and thither, but it's only the theory which can provide us with a compass which points north, which points in the same direction, and which can guide us through these complicated events. Without that, of course, you'd understand nothing. The same as the ruling class and its strategist, the bourgeoisie, understands nothing. To quote Trotsky, they're like a man tobogganing to disaster with his eyes closed. Now look, I have in my hand, not the Bible, don't be alarmed, the latest issue of The Economist. You see that? Can you read what it says? No, you can't, I'll tell you. The world economy, sticky patch or meltdown. Sticky. So they admit that at the very least they're in a very sticky patch. But it could mean to a meltdown. Do you understand? Do all the foreign comrades understand what a meltdown is? That's a complete, absolute collapse, a complete disaster. And the editorial says the following. I'll just quote a couple of snippets for your edification. It says, the result of the conflict between the American ruling class, because they don't know how to handle the deficit, the result is a perilous standoff and a growing danger that America will have to make drastic short-term spending cuts or even find itself forced into a technical default, which is what I said on Friday night. I hadn't read this on Friday night. They're talking about the possibility of a default, not in Greece, not in Europe, in the United States of America. This is serious stuff. It goes on. This dangerous political brinkmanship in Greece, that is, could also have a damaging effect by creating uncertainty. That already exists, by the way. And it goes on to say, there's a real risk that the politicians' pig-headedness, that stubbornness, could lead to disaster. Though economic logic suggests that the world economy is just going through a sticky patch, that's what they hope, squabbling politicians could all too easily turn it into a meltdown. Now, you know what this means. These are the strategists of capital. But you see, even the strategists of capital haven't got the faintest idea either of the cause of the crisis or least of all what is to be done about it. They're completely confused, completely perplexed. You know, it isn't only them that they're perplexed. The reformists are perplexed, the Stalinists are perplexed, the left reformists are particularly perplexed. I remember a few years ago I was selling the sausage to Peel on a May Day demonstration, a few years ago now, and I bumped into Tony Benn, who's the best of them, by the way, along with John McDonnell. He's also a very intelligent man. I don't deny that. But the moment I saw him, the first thing he said to me was, "Isn't it a terrible world we live in?" And that's about it. Of course, if you only look superficially at the present world, it is a terrible world, of course. But we must look beyond that. One of the greatest philosophers of all time, the father of materialism, really, modern materialism, was Spinoza, who put forward a beautiful phrase, a marvelous phrase, which Trotsky, on more than one occasion, cited. What Spinoza said was that the task of philosophy, our task, is neither to weep nor to laugh, but to understand. Neither to weep nor to laugh, but to understand. This is a period of fundamental crisis of the whole system on a global scale, which of course causes untold human suffering, misery, death, torment for millions of people. This is true. But that's only one side of the equation. This is also a birth time. The real meaning of this is as follows. The capitalist system is in a profound crisis because of two things: private ownership of the means of production and the nation state, which have become obstacles preventing the development of human society and all progress. That's true. But this is also a birth time and a time of transition. Birth is also a painful affair. A very painful affair, a traumatic affair. And a new society, a new world is in the process of formation. You saw it in Tunisia, you saw it in Egypt, you saw it in Madrid, you saw it and you still see it on the streets of Athens, and tomorrow also you'll see it on the streets of Britain and every other country. A new world is struggling to be born, that's what it means. The old society is resisting, of course, by all the vicious and savage means at its disposal. But the new world is struggling to be born, and the new world sooner or later will be born. Our task, if you like, is to act like the midwives of history, to help this new world to be born. How does one do this? How do our small forces, our pitifully small forces, and our pitifully small resources, how can we make ourselves a meaningful force in this? Darrell gave the answer. He quoted indirectly what Marx said. He said the following: "Ideas become a material force when they grip the minds of the masses." And this is starting. This is starting already. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people at least are beginning to question the existing society. Something which was not there before. It's a new spirit. There's a new spirit abroad in society on a world scale, that people are profoundly questioning beliefs which they held in the past, which nobody questioned. That's the start of all knowledge. Somebody says to me, "Well, they're very confused, these people on the streets of Athens. They're very confused, they haven't got clear ideas." And I would answer as follows. First of all, this is only the beginning. It's only the beginning of a movement which will continue, and which will develop, and which will grow, and which will mature, and which will learn. But even at this stage, what you can say about these people on the streets of Athens and Madrid and other countries is this. Okay, maybe they do not know exactly what they want, but they know perfectly well what they do not want, and that's good enough for a start. They don't want unemployment, they don't want oppression, they don't want dictatorship, They don't want police violence. This is the start of knowledge. Our task, however, is two things. First of all, to clarify our own ideas. We have no right whatsoever to come and discuss and lecture people unless we ourselves possess clear ideas. It reminds me, if you excuse me, I know the comments will go for a drink tonight. And knowing them as I do, probably one or two will have too much to drink. But you know, Aristotle once said the following, referring to another Greek philosopher, Anaxagoras. He said the following, that he was like a sober man among drunkards. A sober, that's us, by the way. I'm speaking philosophically, Ben, not about actual alcohol consumption, which is a separate matter, which we talk about tomorrow. A sober man among drunkards. The bourgeois, all the other elements, all the other tendencies, they don't know. They don't understand anything. They are like drunkards, staggering around without the slightest idea where they're going. Here, in this room, this weekend, we have debated seriously and profoundly about these problems from different aspects, and I think we can be proud of the fact that here, at least, we have a rational understanding, a rational insight of what's going on. Now, I will not abuse any further on your patience, because it's been a very tiring and a very very enjoyable, I hope, but also very intense and tiring weekend. Just to say this, in answer to Tony Benn, it's a terrible world we live in, I would say this, in answer to Tony Benn and all the other reformists, what a wonderful world we live in. What a wonderful period in history. You know, it reminds me, I quoted the words, you were not all in Marxism and art, but I quoted the words of the British poet Wordsworth, who was a young man, went to France, saw the revolution with his own eyes in 1792, was profoundly impacted, and said wrote the following lines in the prelude. Bliss 'twas in that dawn to be alive, but to be young was very heaven. And I'll say to you now, we are fortunate. We are fortunate to be born and to be alive at this time in history. A time, yes, of terrible wars and suffering, yeah, that's true. But these are the birth pangs of a new society which is in the process of formation. We are very fortunate to be alive at this moment in history, but we are 10 times, 100 times more fortunate to be here where we are as part of the Marxist movement, part of the INT, if you like, part of the Socialist Appeal, part of the Marxist movement, because we can understand, we can lift ourselves above the problems and get a global view, a global understanding, and also to participate properly in this movement. One final word. The theories of Marxism, Marxist theory, is not just a dry, academic, abstract thing dealing with economics and pounds, shillings and pence. Not at all. Not at all. Some people say to me, well, isn't it difficult to study Marxism? Well, everything in life is difficult. Anything that's worthwhile is difficult. Marxist theory is not, in my opinion, difficult, but it has certain difficulties. It's true. You might find it difficult at first, like struggling up a mountain, a steep mountain. It takes a certain amount of energy, a certain amount of dedication. It's tiring, it's difficult. Yes, but when you reach the top, I'll promise you this, when you reach the top, when you've conquered Marxist theory, and you must conquer theory for yourself, for yourselves, read it for yourselves, don't accept what I or anyone else says. Once you reach the pinnacle, that you've conquered these wonderful theories, you'll see before yourself, at your feet, the whole immensity of human history, past, present and future, philosophy, science, economics, politics, art, literature, music, all is contained in these wonderful, profound and beautiful ideas, which are the scientific theories of Marxism. Comrades, let us dedicate ourselves to the fulfillment of these ideas and to the struggle for the transformation of society and for socialism in Britain, Europe, and the whole world.